Thank you for joining us. Renee Roberts is off this week, and our guest on the Extra today are with the Better Business Bureau, Alexis Barton, Investigation Specialist, and Paul Meyer Bennett, Vice President of Marketing Events. Welcome both of you to KRDO.
Good morning.
It is good to have you both here. You know, let's go ahead and jump right in, because a lot of folks got gifts for Christmas, and some of those gifts might have been smart TVs, or maybe they bought themselves a smart TV. But there's a warning that's being issued about those. What do we need to know if you have a smart TV in your home?
Yeah, so as a holiday message, the FBI issued a warning that smart TVs equipped with internet streaming, facial recognition capabilities, can be very vulnerable to intrusion. I know for myself, every TV at my house is a smart TV, mm-hmm. so that's all of them for me. In addition to outlining how new technology features risk allowing television manufacturers and app developers to snoop on your consumers. So not only are they gathering your information, it's really easy for hackers to get into these TVs and potentially wreak havoc on the owners of these new TVs. So on the minor end of the spectrum, hackers can change your channel, play with the volume, turn on videos and things like that. In some of the worst case scenarios that we've heard about, they can hack into your bedroom TV, access cameras, microphones, and silently stalk you in some place that's so private.
That's scary.
Yes, it's very scary. So in order to guard against these intrusions, the FBI recommends that smart TV owners educate themselves on how their device works, what settings it has, what features are available. So they suggested just doing some research on the internet and searching the model of your TV, the model number, and then general terms such as microphone, camera, privacy, and reading some of those articles. The manufacturers often publish a lot of articles explaining how you can modify those settings to keep yourself the safest. The other thing you can do is just change the default passwords that are set by the manufacturer. So when you get your new TV, a lot of those things are basic passwords, 000, 1234, making sure that you change those, because hackers will know that by different brands what those default passwords are. And understanding how to disable the microphones and cameras, if you'd like to, you can simply turn those off on a lot of them. If you can't, what people recommend, and I would say do this anyway, is just put a piece of black, like electrical tape, over that camera on your device. If you need to use it, you can take that tape off. But putting that tape over there ensures that even if someone does get into that camera, it's covered and they can't see anything.
I'm kind of curious, what is the purpose of having a camera on a TV?
I think a lot of them these days are doing facial recognition. I know a lot of the health and fitness apps will use some of that technology to like track your movements if you're interacting with an app on the TV to work out.
It's also a nice screen as far as, if, you know, say you have a loved one overseas. You can download apps and talk with them, you know, on a big screen instead of your little phone.
Okay.
You're now doing FaceTime through your big television.
Yeah, which is really awesome in a lot of ways. But just making sure that you protect yourself. And if you are doing like FaceTime on the TV, uncovering that camera and then covering it back up when you're done.
What about like a firewall? Could you put a firewall up?
Yeah, so the other thing that the FBI suggests is making sure that your TV software is always up to date. So if there are intrusions or hackers, oftentimes manufacturers will correct those problems and include them in an update, just like on your phone. So keeping that software up to date can sort of patch some of those security problems if there is some. And then check online, see if the manufacturer has issued any public warnings, if something has happened with the model of TV that you have. And then just make sure that you're familiar with the privacy policy and understand what data they're collecting. And I think this is important because if someone were to hack in and get your information, you know exactly what they have, exactly what they've been collecting, and exactly what they have access to, so you can better protect yourself.
Boy, all right, that's very important information. Yeah. And as far as the TVs that are being sold, are almost all new TVs smart TVs now?
I think so.
Vast majority.
Yeah, I think the prices have come down a lot in those over the last few years. So I can't imagine that you would buy a new one that probably wasn't a smart TV.
Okay, so if you've bought a TV in the last year or two, this is something you really need to pay attention to.
Right, yep.
Okay, and again, the FBI says go online, look at your look at the model you have, look at security features, change, and definitely change the password.
Yes, definitely change those default passwords and see how you can modify your settings to make things even more secure.
All right, Paul, let's, another thing that a lot of folks have moved to is these new cameras that are on your doorbell.
That's right.
Which are kind of convenient because someone rings your doorbell, you can... You get a message and you can look and see who it is. Do you want to answer the door?
Right.
And you can not be home and still get the message that someone's at the door, and you can talk to them and just say, hey, look, I can't come to the door right now. And they don't know whether you're in there or not.
That's right. No, they're really a great security feature for your home. You can pay for a subscription on many of them where you keep your videos indefinitely of who came to your front door, whether that was a FedEx guy or it was a bear or a squirrel running by, but they are very neat. But there are some security issues, especially on some of your knockoff brands, of people actually hacking in to these security devices. And one story recently in Mississippi, a family installed one of these camera systems throughout their entire home. So not only can it be at your front door and your back door, but they have systems that you can put inside the home as well. And in this particular scenario, the camera was in one of their three daughters' rooms, and a man hacked into it and started playing music through the camera's speakers, which, you know, freaked out the girl. He also was speaking and told her that he was Santa Claus. And he began screaming at the little girl. So the family, of course, called the police and turned off the device, which, you know, they took all the measures they could to prevent it. But just very scary to allow someone into your child's room potentially by, you know, adding what you think is a security feature that's connected to Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So these stories are popping up all over the United States, and so this literally was just happened here within the last couple of months, and there were three similar cases that all got reported about these smart doorbell and security system hacks. So be careful.
All right. Is there any precautions you can take if you do have these devices?
So what you want to do is make sure that you have the multi-factor authentication turned on. And in that way, you want a unique username and password, just with the, like with the smart TVs or any of your accounts, frankly, whether it's your bank account, something else, you know, you probably don't want to go with your mother's maiden name and your birth date or 12345, you know, think of something a little bit more
unique. Password.
Yeah. Or password one. And try and make those a little bit more aggressive in your passwords. I mean, but the multi-factor authentication will also send you some sort of a text. So not only is it your username and password that need to be hacked, but then they would actually have to hack your phone as well. So, we would just at the Better Business Bureau would suggest that you make your usernames, passwords complex for any advice you have, and don't use the same one. It's rough. I think we all are tempted to do it because we, you know, there's a username and password on about every system that you own at this point. But don't do it. Try
to have something unique.
Yeah, exactly.
And you did mention, we don't necessarily have the name, but there are apps out there that you can get that you can store your passwords in.
There are. And whether you're using, you know, an Android device or an Apple device, there are ones that are, they do a lot of encryption, and they make sure that you're going to want to check ratings. You're going to want to go to bb.org. You're going to want to check out just that you pick the correct app so you're not giving away all your passwords in some random app that you download to store your passwords. But when you look into it, you will find there's some good ones that will store your passwords.
All right, we'll continue in just a couple of moments. It's 9:16. You're listening to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. And I'm filling in for Renee Roberts. It's great to be here. Our guest today with the Better Business Bureau, Alexis Barton and Paul Meyer Bennett. And Alexis, before we move on to the next topic, there was something else on smart TVs that I think we wanted to add that we talked about.
Yeah, Paul, did you want to talk about the addition to the smart TVs?
Yeah, so one of the things we were talking about off air is it's almost, you have to be very careful and make sure that you secure your smart TV as much as possible, because if you think of all the apps that you can download and have and use through your new smart TV, those each have their own username and password, And that includes maybe even your Google accounts to look at photos. So if you're giving away some of those, if your passwords are similar, it's a good chance once your smart TV is hacked into, a number of your other accounts, your Amazon account may get hacked into, your Google account may get hacked into, which means your emails potentially if you have a Gmail account. So it's definitely one to really take note of. And I think that's the reason that the FBI did a main push on this. This is a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And again, when it comes to passwords, what I have seen recommended is you want an upper and lower case letter. You want to maybe use a number.
A character,
too. So you want to make it a strong password.
Right. Yeah. I think the newest thing they recommended was like 3 or 4 digits included in the password, along with letters, uppercase, lowercase, with a mixture of symbols. I know that the typical thing is always to put like symbol at the end or symbol for the A. So I think they're suggesting now, people have caught on to that, right? Like the sort of trend, that's what everyone does. So just switching it up. I think a lot of the passwords they recommend now, like if you see, I know like Google products, Google will recommend a password sometimes, and it's just like complete gibberish, just random uppercase, lowercase letters and numbers. So
very long.
Yeah. So if you have one of those apps or tools that can store the passwords for you, that might be a good idea because then you don't have to remember it. If it's saved somewhere where you feel safe having those passwords saved, then you can have those super complex passwords.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and talk about, we wouldn't be talking to the BBB if we weren't talking about scams, and I understand
yes.
there's some out there.
Yes, always. So the one we always want to hit on again and again is the tech support scams. These are super persistent. They've been around, I think, as long as computers have been around now, and they don't seem to die down. So I know over the holidays, a lot of people received new computers or laptops. It's another avenue for scammers to try this tech support scam. So imagine you just got a new computer for a gift. You're still kind of figuring things out, setting it up, and you get a call that says, hey, something's wrong with this device, or you get a pop-up that says, hey, something's wrong. Consumers are more likely to fall for this around the holidays because these devices are new, right? And they're not used to how they work, and is this normal? Tech support scammers want you to believe that there is a serious problem with your computer, some virus, that your computer is going to be unusable if you don't get this fixed. So, of course, they're going to ask you to pay for these services to fix this epic problem that doesn't actually exist. And they often ask you to wire them money, put money on a gift card, prepaid card. Any of those things should be a huge red flag because those are typically untraceable. And once you send the money or MoneyGram, you're probably not going to get it back.
Mm-hmm.
So scammers will often try and get you to use something other than your credit card or your debit card. Because with those, once I realize I'm being scammed, I can call and report that, right? I can't get my gift card back after I sent it. So they're going to call, and they could even pretend to be from a well-known company. I know Microsoft has a ton of scams that they try and combat with fake companies calling and saying they're from Microsoft and there's a problem with their computer. Most often they ask you to give them remote access to your computer so they can run tests, right? Mm-hmm. And once you've done that, it's very difficult to undo that because now you've given them access to everything on there. So just making sure that you call that company directly if they do say they're from a major company. The other way aside from just calling is, like I mentioned, the pop-up window. This is going to look like some big error message. This, again, could have Microsoft or Apple logos on it, or even the security company's logos on it. And this is going to warn you, hey, you have this major problem. You need to call this number right now. If there is a phone number listed on that pop-up, again, that should be the biggest red flag to you. Real security warnings and messages are not going to ask you to call the phone number on there. So if it pops up and says, hey, error with a phone number, that should be your first indication that this is probably a scam. Legitimate tech support companies, if you have a problem with your computer, they're not going to call you directly. Most often in that case, the consumer's reaching out to them, right, and saying, hey, I think I have a problem with my computer. They're not going to call you by phone or text you, and that's the other thing we've seen is text messages. And tell you that there's a problem with your computer. And like I mentioned, the pop-up warnings will not have a phone number listed on there. So those are a couple things to look for. you get that phone call out of the blue and say, hey, something's really wrong with your computer, or that pop-up out of the blue that says call this number, those should be indicators that this is probably a scam.
And nowadays, phone numbers, by the way, can be spoofed. So that's not even the same number. I've seen some phone calls come in, and just out of curiosity at my house, I'll call the number back, and it says this number doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you just really have to be careful.
Yeah. Definitely if someone calls, especially if they're saying they're from a major company like Microsoft, I would go directly to Microsoft's website and find the number there. And you can call them directly and say, hey, I got this call. Mm-hmm. Is there something wrong with my computer? And never working with that person over the phone, hanging up and calling the number that you trust that you find on their website.
So you make the call.
Right. Yes. Yes. That way you're kind of in control of who you're talking to, and you know for sure that you're actually talking to Microsoft. Unfortunately, if you have fallen for these scams, and it happens very, very often, if you've already paid a tech support scammer, hopefully you did that with your credit or debit card. That's going to be the easiest way to try and repair this, because you can contact your credit card company or your bank, tell them that you were scammed, and a lot of times they'll reverse those charges. If you paid with a gift card, some companies, if you contact them, if the gift card hasn't been used, they're able to cancel that card. Mm-hmm. If you explain that you think you were scammed. If you give them access to your computer, which is the scary thing, make sure you update your computer. When I was researching this, a lot of people were saying, just delete it all and start over. Because it's too risky now to continue using it once you give them access to it, because it's very easy for them to, even if you update things, they've already kind of got their claws in there somewhere. And then if you gave them any of your username and passwords, of course, make sure that you update those passwords. I would suggest doing that anyway if you fell victim to this, just to be safe, and updating some of those username and passwords to something different.
All right, we'll continue in just a couple of moments. Got a news update on the way. It's 9:27 on your Thursday morning. It's a brand new year and a new decade. This is KRDO. And our guest today, Alexis Barton, investigation specialist with the Better Business Bureau of Southern Colorado, and Paul Myers Bennett. He is the vice president of marketing and events. Both of you, welcome. And we've got some. By the way, during the news break, we were talking about, we were talking about scams, and it's an important information that we're getting out there. But the Better Business Bureau also has a very positive outlook on you vet businesses and you publish the businesses that do a great job.
That's right. We were talking, the end of 2019, like what should we focus on for 2020? And in my role of marketing, it's, hey, we need to let our community know what the BBB does, what we do. And it's interesting. So we're the largest trade organization in Southern Colorado. We have a whole half of the office that basically just goes through and reviews businesses, whether they are businesses that you can trust. And so what that means is they look to make sure those businesses have licenses, that their owners can be reached via telephone if someone does a complaint. And Alexis works in that department and can tell you more. But if you're looking for a business that you can trust before you make a purchase, or whether that's online or otherwise, a roof, go to BBB.org. It's free. And check out and just make sure that this is a trustworthy business and they have their stuff together and they're treating their clients right.
Tell us about how the rating system works.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different factors. It's an algorithm that is mandated by the International Association of Better Business Bureaus. Just like Paul was saying, there's a whole team of us that kind of put out there who are the good guys and who to watch out for. We spend a lot of time researching businesses and making sure that the businesses that are accredited through the Better Business Bureau have all those things, up-to-date licensing. They don't have a bad track record in Kansas or something. Mm-hmm. So we spend a lot of time making sure that the information we're giving the public is not only about scams and the businesses that aren't doing well, but the businesses that are doing well and that are doing the right thing, and we want to promote them as well.
And I would say in this community, we are very fortunate. We talk to Renee about this on a regular basis. We have a lot, almost 2,500 businesses that are accredited that just are saying, hey, go through our stuff and make sure we're doing everything right for our customers. And we're a blessed community in just having so many quality businesses here. And you know that on Cardio and your advertisers, they're good people to work with. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, so and it's always, if you're going to have a contractor come into your house, check the BBB before you make that phone call.
That's right. You definitely should. And check out the reviews, too, and just see. It doesn't mean if someone has a bad rating, if they've written on a business, you should see if that business responded to it. You know, how did they try and fix the issue? Mm-hmm. And you know, that will say a lot before you invite somebody into your home to fix yeah. something or buy something. Yeah. You want to know how they're going to treat you if something does go wrong.
Yeah, of course. And when it comes to contractors and all the different kinds of contractors that are out there, it's nice to know that when you choose an accredited business, someone's done the work for you. So we don't look at these businesses once and say, okay, you're good to go. We keep looking at them over and over and over and checking licensing and double checking all of those other things. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those things that, you know, if they're accredited, their license is up to date. And some of that legwork has already been done for you.
One thing I didn't realize, Mike, when I began at the BBB over a year ago was that not all businesses that want to be a part of the Better Business Bureau get accepted. We reject about 30% of who want to be a part of it because they don't fit the qualifications. And so you have to do your things right. You have to do things legally, ethically, and be a business, you know, that's trustworthy.
Okay, well, that's good information. Now, public Wi-Fi. Let's talk about that. It's everywhere. What do we need to know? What do we need to be worried about if we're going to hop on the Wi-Fi? Let's say we're at a, you know, Starbucks or any some other business that has the, you know, Wi-Fi, and restaurants have it.
Exactly. Well, you know, it depends on if your service, one on your cellular device or tablet, doesn't have a lot of data on it, or your kids are using it and it's limited. You want them to get on a Wi-Fi system and not use all your cellular data. The other thing is, say you're in the mountains or you're somewhere where you don't have good service and you still want to work or you want to stream a movie like at mm-hmm. Starbucks, you're probably going to jump on public Wi-Fi. And normally that seems, you'd think that's harmless, but it is not. So whether, again, you're at a coffee shop, an airport, a hotel lobby, any public place, you're going to want to look before you log in to the free public Wi-Fi if it's real, if it's from the source, if it's from Starbucks, if you're sitting there, or is it a knockoff? It says free Wi-Fi, but it's actually free Wi-Fi 123, which is potentially a hacker, somebody that's getting into the middle between your computer and Wi-Fi. And so you're essentially giving them anything that you're online for. Again, your usernames and passwords will be available to them. Your purchasing, your credit cards will be available. So make sure that these fake Wi-Fi spots, you don't want to use them. You want to use real ones from the source where you're sitting.
And how do you know the difference?
So this one, you know the difference. One, look for it being posted. So say, again, you're in that Starbucks. See if you have a Wi-Fi password and username right there, and it's not just open to the public. Verify that the name of the connection before joining. Scammers often use fake hotspots like next to real ones. Again, they're going to look similar. It might be Starbucks 123, but the real Starbucks one was just Starbucks. And so then also make sure to, you know, consider using a VPN. And so that's a virtual private network, and VPNs encrypt traffic between your computer and the internet. So that's going to take and just add that extra layer of protection if you're someone who normally jumps onto these public Wi-Fi systems.
And if you have any doubt, it would be better just to use your cellular data.
Yes, it definitely would be. And you know, also make sure that if you're using a computer or some cell phones, make sure your antivirus software is up to date and that you have a firewall there. You know, it's something where they will catch that this is not a real, or that something's in between you and the internet. Just make sure that virus software is up to date. And then again, the theme of maybe this is good usernames and passwords. Mm-hmm. You know, don't have the ABC123 or something like that. Have a better password when logging on to public Wi-Fi.
All right. We will continue in a moment. We're going to talk about juice jacking. What is juice jacking? We'll find out in just a couple of minutes. It is 9:44. You're listening to The Extra on KRDO. And we continue with our guests from the Better Business Bureau of Southern Colorado, Alexis Barton and Paul Myers Bennett. Both of you, welcome again, and thank you for some great information we're trying to provide. Juice jacking, who wants to take this on and tell us, first of all, what is that?
Yeah, so this one was new to me in researching this. So juice jacking, have you ever been to the airport or another public place? Phone is going to die or device is going to die, and they have like a big charging hub with a bunch of USB ports. So I know I've seen them at the hospital too, I think, where they have like the public charging stations. So these are, while they are ultra convenient, of course there's some kind of way that scammers can exploit these. So several agencies have warned of a new scheme targeting people who need that quick boost in that public charging station. And that is called juice jacking. That is the scam. So what hackers do is they spoof these charging stations to steal information. So this is really similar to like credit card skimmers. Fake charging stations are set up, and they put something in that port, and unknowing users plug in, and they've now exposed their device to malware attacks. Of course, all of your information is on there, and you're basically exporting or uploading to their system all of your information when you plug into those. So the one thing that I saw that I thought, wow, this is really an easy way to know is when you plug in, like at work, I plug my phone into my computer to charge it. And it always says, do you trust this device? Do you want to allow this device access? Mm-hmm. That's something that will happen if you plug into one of those USB ports and it is hacked or uploading your information to somewhere else. It's going to ask you, do you trust this computer? Well, if you plug into a regular charger, it doesn't ask you that question, right? So this is going to be a dead giveaway that this information is going somewhere else. So if you plug into one of those USB ports and it asks you, do you trust this computer? Do you want to allow this device access? You're going to know immediately that it's actually connected to something else. And you should, of course, hit no and unplug from that.
Wow.
Yeah. So scammers rely on the easy access of these, the convenience. People are using these because it's quick. It's easy, especially in airports. Oftentimes people are in a hurry and it catches people off guard. I think the easiest way to avoid this altogether is to just bring the power adapter to your charger and use a regular old plug instead of the USB ports. That way you're kind of avoiding it altogether. If you want some extra security, they actually have a device. I was looking at them. They're like $10 or $15 that you can put on the end of your USB connector, and it stops anything from going outbound. So the only thing is... power can come inbound, it can charge your phone, but nothing can leave. So that's pretty unique.
There are also portable power packs you can buy too, where you charge it and then you just plug it in. You know, let's say you need your charger for your battery, but you're just charging it off your another thing that you own.
Exactly. I think a big thing here is be prepared. Make sure your phone is charged if you are heading to the airport or somewhere where you're going to be without a place to charge maybe for an extended period of time, or having that backup plan of a power pack. So you don't have to risk it. You don't have to risk plugging into one of these like multi-hub stations.
Let's say someone thinks they are being scammed and they want to make a report. What is the best way for them to do that?
Definitely. So there's a number of places that you should report this. And the reason you want to report this to these different agencies, and I'll tell you what they are, is just so you can make others aware of them. And then also, you know, it allows the government, the Better Business Bureau and others to track and do something about these scams. So one of them that you can go to is the FCC. And so that's just www.fcc.gov. The FBI Internet Crime Complaint Center is another one. So if it's an online issue, again, let the FBI know. It will be that big of an issue. That's www.ic3.gov, and that's the numerical 3, ic3.gov. Let your local police know. If you've, you know, had something stolen, it is similar to someone breaking into your car, really. Mm-hmm. Let them know that there's an issue so that they can track it, potentially, in best case scenario, track something down and help you. But that's
Well, especially if your cameras have been hacked. And I think that's the big one with the local police is even if you're not going to catch that person immediately, at least there's a report, there's a record in case, you know, God forbid anything does happen, but at least someone has been notified that someone's doing this in the community.
And then there's a legal record for if that person does ever get caught, whether they're in your state or somewhere else, there's, you know, something to charge them with. And then finally, the Better Business Bureau Scam Tracker. So we began this quite a while ago, and it literally is at bbb.org/scam tracker. And there, in 2018, there were more than 50,000 scam reports published there. And essentially, you get to log on first when something seems suspicious and just see if it's reported suspicious by other people in your community or around. And I'll tell you what, if 20,000 people say this is coming from a bad number or this internet address stole my fill in the blank, avoid it.
Chances are it's real.
That's right.
All right. Well, great information. Just want to let everyone know, if you find this information useful, we're going to have this on a podcast on our podcasting page of KRDO.com. So you go to radio, click on podcast. You can share this information because maybe you have a relative or a friend that's got a smart TV. Some important information, you can pass it along. You can email the podcast or you can just have them download it or they can listen to it at their leisure. So great information. It was good having you both here. And I want to say Happy New Year.
Thank you.
All right, Better Business Bureau spending some time with us on The Extra. Coming up in just a couple of moments, we've got Tom Martino on the way. He is the troubleshooter. He'll be coming up after our next news update. This is KRDO News Radio.